The first reading can be found on page 927 in the Church Bibles, or page 1648 in the large print version. The reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew that he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault and this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel can be found on page 1083 in the Church Bibles, and 1910 in the large print version. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17.
Glory to you, Lord.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. Is the microphone on and working enough? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Wow. The scripture is so exciting. I'm not quite sure where to go with it today. But what we have just started with is an acting out of the opposite of calling. Okay? I have just made you act out the opposite of calling. We're going to come back to that. But before we do, and before you get distracted by whatever it is I might say, I want you to reflect back on the scriptures we have heard this morning and just notice what has lodged inside you from those verses. If you're sitting there thinking, oh help, I wasn't really paying that much attention, hopefully you've got a Bible near you somewhere. Feel free to remember with your eyes. And if you can't even remember anything from the passages we've actually had, if there's something else that's sticking in you, go with that. Once you've identified that, I want you to find someone near you who's looking not too unfriendly and listen to what they've noticed. Does that make sense? So you're going to do some talking and listening with each other about what you've noticed in the scriptures. Don't worry, it won't be too long. If, like me, you're a bit of an introvert and think this sounds like a terrible plan, you can just sit there and think about what you've noticed. That's fine. I'm going to do that. Go for it. Okay, it sounds like some of you have been enjoying that. I would like to remind you this is the Church of England. Be careful. Sometimes I like to frame words that come in a sermon with some verses from Scripture that I've chosen, but I'd like to frame what we hear today with what you've noticed. So bear in mind, throughout whatever happens next, what the Lord has given you in your heart through the Scriptures today, because that's probably far more important than anything I'm going to say, to be fair. And I think I'm going to start with us, as we're thinking about how it is to be called, by looking at the two images we have in this building that remind us every time we come here of the two scripture readings we've heard. That image of the vine and the story of Jonah. Churches are amazing buildings. The people are even better, by the way, if you meet any. They're fab. But churches are amazing buildings that are built usually to teach us scriptural truths in a visible fashion. So did you know that you are acting out John 15 this very morning? Isn't that amazing? And we are, because this church is set out so that we are a vine. Here we have the root of the vine, the main body of the vine, rooted in this place where we hear the word of God and receive the sacrament of Christ. Oh, look, there's a bit of a trunk thing that goes up here, and branches are going out either side of it in the arrangement of the pews. And you guys happen to be in those pews. Obviously, I've now excluded all the musicians, so please just use your imaginations over here. We're including you as well. Here we have, in our building, a reminder that we are rooted in Christ, and in Christ we are called to be fruitful. And of course, this is one of the things we need to remember as we start with calling. Who is called? Is there any lower age limit? Spoiler alert, the answer's no. Is there any upper age limit? No. God calls us all. Of course, even if we understand that in our hearts, even if we can get beyond that sense of not being worthy or not being competent or not being skilled, understanding what we're called to is difficult. But we are all called. Right, we're going to come back to some of the how we work out what we might be called to stuff in a little while, but we've done the vine and how that's in this building. Obviously, you all know about how this is the story of Jonah, right here and now. Or maybe I need to explain that a bit more too. So does anyone know what this part of the church building is called? Any offers? Nave? Nave. Brilliant. Correct. What does the word nave mean?
Ship.
Ship. Absolutely. What do we have in the story of Jonah that we've just heard?
Ship.
A ship. Perfect. Good. We're here. We are here in the midst of the story of Jonah, in that boat with him. How do we come to worship? Are we making sure this ship is sailing? Are we trying to find somewhere to hide down below where we can have a nice sleep? If you are sleeping at the moment, I'm sure you need it. Don't worry. The story of Jonah is a wonderful, deep, rich treasure trove of prophetic literature that calls our attention forward to looking at what Christ does. If I had longer this morning, I would love to take you through exploring all the references in Jonah that take our minds forward into how God brings his salvation to us in Christ and what that says about calling and so forth, but I think you probably want to go home before 2 o'clock. So I won't do that just yet. But what we do have in that story of Jonah is again an example of what it is to be called. Jonah himself is a very bad example. So if there are any people here who are struggling with that sense of feeling God calling you to do something but not being sure you're worthy, take Jonah to heart, because Jonah is terrible. So, when we started preaching, we got you to enact the opposite of calling. What did I ask you to do? Sit down. Exactly. Well done. Thank you. So I got you to sit down and stay here. What you find again and again when God calls in the scriptures is what we have at the beginning of that story of Jonah, and what we have in the verse that comes just before that passage from John we heard. Though it isn't quite as you need to see it in your Bibles, so you're going to have to bear with me a bit. So the words that come when God calls are, arise and go. Arise and go. We could say get up and go, but I like arise because there's a little hint of resurrection there, and it's important to have a little hint of resurrection in much of what we do. When God calls us, he calls us saying, arise and go. These are his words to Jonah. And of course, Jonah gets up and goes in completely the opposite direction. Absolutely the opposite direction from where God tells him to go. That is where Jonah goes. And so we find this astonishing scene on the boat where everyone apart from Jonah is trying to do God's will. They might be confused about which God and where, But Jonah is the one who is hiding and running away. And Jonah, as he responds to this cry from the other sailors there, who say to him, you know, what are you doing sleeping? Get up and call on your God. This is what we're doing. You do the same. Jonah still doesn't want to follow his calling and has the cunning plan that, right, if I can't sail over to the other side of the world, maybe if I get thrown in the sea and drown, that will stop me from having to do what God wants me to do. Of course, we know the end of the story. We know God has other plans. But I want to now use that story as a springing off point to take us forward into the Gospels. Because I hinted earlier that this is what the story of Jonah does. We remember that story of Jesus walking on the waters, calming the storm. In that gospel story where we have the disciples in the boat, Jesus walking on the water, you may remember that Peter is called by Jesus to get out of the boat and come to him. Get up, come here, arise, go. That story is another parable about the church. That part of our calling as the people of God is to arise from here and to go out into the stormy seas of the world, that God's peace might be brought to it. This is what we do by being Christians in our daily lives, our first and fundamental calling. And one of the things that defines calling is when we are living our calling, we will find ourselves built up. Or if you want to go to the vine analogy, we will grow and be fruitful. But not only that, the church will grow and be fruitful when we are living out our calling in Christ. And not only that, the people around us, the world around us, will grow and be fruitful when we are living out our calling in Christ. I'm mindful I'm going on too long. This is the trouble when you get carried away and excited by the scriptures. So I'm going to finish us now with just a few things to take away and think about where you are being called to arise and go. How do you know what God is calling you to do? Three things. There are more, but three will do to start with, and I'm sure I can't remember more than that myself. Listen to those around you, particularly your brothers and sisters in this boat with you. The wisdom of those who know you and are sharing this journey in Christ, this journey of discipleship, who may see in you something you don't see in yourself. What is it that your brothers and sisters in Christ are saying about where your gifts are, about what you could do? If they haven't said anything yet, ask them. What's the worst that could happen? Second thing, listen to your desires. And I'm not talking about an idle sense that you fancy a bar of chocolate. Deep desires. Those things that have that sense of peace and fulfillment in them. Those things that will enrich your lives. Those things that when you do them, it makes your heart sing. Where God has gifted you those desires, he may be calling you to serve. I loved this little sheet you have, which has a whole load of options. Oh, that you could choose from things that are currently known within the church. I remember I did something like that with my church a while ago, and I had these great plans because I was new and young and enthusiastic and naive. And I thought, I'll put a whole load of things on here, but what I really want people to do is sing in the choir, visit my nursing homes and help out in the school. This is going to be great. I'm going to get so many people because God's going to bless this. I'll pray into it. It will be fine. So I get 12 gardeners. What? Why would gardening be a thing that's going to help our church grow? I just didn't get that at all. Didn't get that at all. But fortunately, God being wiser than I, he had someone in my congregation who was really into gardening and had it on their heart to take these people and use them in the grounds of our church. And after 6 months, the grounds were transformed. After another 3 months, they came to me and said, can we take the gates off the churchyard? Because we've got these lovely grounds and no one's coming in because the gates are always closed. We'd like people to come in. So they did. And people did come in. And then people started using the church grounds for picnics. And it became a place for the local community. And then some of them wanted it. And do you know, God was doing mission in that offering that I had never seen. What is it that God has given you in your desires and your gifts? Two. And we are definitely going to finish any second now. The third one is, of course, listening deeply and carefully to the Word of God. The Word of life, those scriptures that are given to us so that God may speak in our hearts. And hopefully when we were listening, noticing earlier on, there was something you noticed. Take that away. Pray into it. See what God is calling you to in his word. And then with courage, arise, go, and do. Amen.
Amen.